Hello, this is Kinnack, also known as Landon Winkler, coming back to you for the 39th Metroplexity podcast, almost up to the big 40, which I suppose means it's about time for the podcast to have a midlife crisis. Let's see how that goes. We've got a bunch of questions today, mostly as a result of me having been sick when I posted the thread and taking a little longer than I wished to get back to it so that I could be prepared to actually talk for a little while rather than sounding like a frog after about three questions. Let's dive right in. First, we've got some questions from Al. Hi, Kinnack. Sorry to hear about more flu, and thanks for podcast anyhow. You are quite welcome. And the flu, thankfully, has been kicked. Although now Liz seems like she might have it, so we've got the sort of, you know, traditional disease transmission going on. Still both did a lot better than one of our friends who was literally coughing up blood, which was, believe you me, not as much fun as it sounds like. Halloween questions. Yes, we have just finished with the Halloween season, so let's get some dug in there. We found 18 Halloween costumes this year, a new record. Can you share how many total there are to find? Mad Doctor is neat. Yeah, I like that one. There's a couple of cool hidden ones in there. Let me take a look-see. Let's see. That would end up being... don't quote me on the exact number, I'm just sort of eyeballing it, but 24 maybe? Math is hard. 46 divided by 23, I guess, is my best estimate. So yeah, there's still a couple floating out there. How far off are we from building a complete maze? Shame it seems we missed the ability to hide snakes, but they are a neat souvenir in their own right. Actually, I was surprised that the maze got as close as it did. It was lagging quite behind for most of it, at about a third done or so. And right at the end, it jumped up to round three-quarters done. So if whatever you did in like the last... day and a half, had been going on for another, you know, day and a half, it would have been complete and then some. I think towards the end there, you might have actually been able to hide serpents, but people were obviously, pouring all of their effort into, actual construction rather than snake hiding, so, Alliance drones are not getting through. Was this because we hacked and intercepted all of them, or because something got messed up with shipping from Jess's end? I prefer to blame everything on the Alliance. I was actually not expecting people to look at that and think that they did something terrible by hacking the drones. That text was actually there to sort of give people a pass for like, oh, you know, I want to help out, but I'm hacking these drones, which seems like it would be the opposite of helping out. So they were getting lost elsewhere in the process. Alliance not always super timely. Their quality control being a ton of different companies is not great. So Jess probably fell largely foul of that. Willing to share any more hints about special collections or dorm reconstruction? Dorm reconstruction will probably mostly just be a sign that I'm starting to work on special collections. Special collections itself is going to be game-wise. I mean, obviously, in-game it's a... literal special collections in the basement of the museum. You can go down there once it's done, obviously, and visit them. Visit the collections, you know, see what there's to see. For the game, it's some place to permanently put items that you want to keep for, you know, sort of showing off purposes or, you know, collection or... you know, just stuff that you're never going to throw away, but you're never going to actually use either. So you can, you know, show it off more effectively. And, but, the plan is not to allow it to be withdrawn once you put it into Special Collection. So it will not be a secondary inventory, because I hate those with a fiery passion, so that's not going to happen. There's not going to be, like, a closet or, using Kingdom of Loathing examples here, where they have, like, a closet or their collections there where you can just put items in and take them back out, and it's, no. I'm not a fan. So, if you want to show something off, you can put it there permanently as part of your little branch of Special Collections, and people will be able to see it if you want to keep hold of it and actually use it. You should probably leave it in your inventory. I have tried in vain to find the Pumpkin King the last couple of years. Has he been available? Can he get locked out, for example, if we don't get enough Eclipse into the crowd? Yeah, he does have to be triggered, so he's not automatically show up every year. Other questions? Can you give us the normal update on upcoming content? Well, I've got a big Novos thing coming up about, you know, a week or so after you asked this question. Maybe a week and a half, actually. Which, if you're listening to this from the future and you can't tell that I'm being a jackass, I launched that yesterday. So that's cool. That means that we are getting very close to being done with the Novos stuff. There's a couple things here and there that I still want to add, but the real meat and potatoes is in now. I will probably start working on Old Town sort of in parallel with that, so the Novos updates might slow down a bit. Updates in general, like visible updates, might slow down a little bit while I start really digging into Old Town, because this shit's got to get done sometime, right? And now that I've got enough of the Novos in to make Dr. Amundsen's Old Town path work, I can get cracking on that now, which is pretty exciting, actually. One of my big to-do items for the week is to do the what I call the skeleton outline, sort of the list of all of the stuff that I absolutely need for Old Town to go live. And the plan is a little different from the way I've done quests before, just so that we can, I'll get into why in a second. But it's basically a little bit different from how we've done quests before, because it will start out with just the basics, and then as people find stuff they really wish they could do, or as, you know, I get more cool ideas and whatnot, I'll go back in and add those later. Because what I've found, just working with me, is that if you take a project, like a content launch, and, like, double the amount of content in it, it takes way longer than double the time. Takes probably a good, like, 3 to 4 times as long, and you get substantially more bugs, because it's harder to make sure that everything's good. For example, the Novo stuff that just went out pretty smoothly. I've gotten a couple of typos, like a bug report, which admittedly was totally just me pasting things into the wrong field. Obviously, derp still happens, but if I had been waiting on Novos and launching all of it at once, it would have taken substantially longer than it has and been just a clusterfuck when I launched it. So, in the interest of avoiding Charlie Foxtrot, we are... I'm sort of trying to keep individual content launches as small as possible. So, we'll see how that goes. Obviously, I haven't used that technique yet on something as inherently large as the Old Town update, so I'll keep everybody posted. Light of the Eye and Whiteout are both etheric techniques that evade damage. However, the former seems to use etheric power and the latter uses evasion power. Is there a consistent way to tell how bonus power works? Forms of techniques can have different types. You'll see that some, mostly with stuff switching between, like sometimes it'll be stealth, or sometimes it'll be evade, sometimes it'll be an attack, things like that. It should be... Yeah, I would say that the only way to absolutely know sure is through spading, but for the most part, I try to keep them the same. It's possible Whiteout is mislabeled, and it actually should be evasion. On the front technique, I will have to take a look at that. You know, it occurs to me I might have a to-do list from last podcast that I didn't see, or rather didn't go back to and look over. Podcast. Yes, I totally do. Okay, well, I'll add that, the question about Whiteout to that list. Novo's questions. Cyberbowl chip decks seem like a really difficult way to get a pretty crappy Neuralink. Something hidden we are missing there. I don't think so offhand. They're just, I mean, a lot of the stuff in the Cyberbowl, store, I mean, is not going to say crap exactly, but is the sort of collectible, marketed stuff that may not be entirely worth what you're putting into it. So, if some of it is not actually good, I would say that really sort of slots in pretty well with the flavor. It seems the hardening for most Novos programs was scaled down to a fifth of the equivalent Olos value. Midgar Protection Suite from 5 to 1, Top Shield programs from 10 to 2. Do you plan to rebalance the PDAs in the next little while? As it stands, a Fang PDA effectively turns hardening from a resource advantage into an effectively limitless supply. I would 100% support changing the Fang PDA to around 5 to 7 hardening and rebalancing the other PDAs rest accordingly. Stuff is sort of, I guess we are in the home stretch for Nova. So at some point during the home stretch, the old items will get updated, including PDAs and some of the old programs that are still available. So like the golden chip stuff. And I'm not thinking too hard about the, sort of Novos PvP type stuff yet, because I wanna, as much as, because I don't wanna, deal with it right now, because it'll be a huge thing. I also want to give Novos a bit of a chance to breathe and make sure that everything is sort of working the way that I want it to, before I throw a bunch of PvP-ish stuff on top of it. Eurasian reports, something hidden to find there, presumably, currently possible. Not absolutely everything has hidden stuff. I don't remember putting anything in there, but obviously that doesn't mean that it's not there. How much more Novus Revamp is in the works? You talked about rolling out the next phase in chunks, but honestly, the shipping journey seems like a pretty complete thing as is. Best of several worlds, a number of random results, obvious ways to filter the results, which makes the random list pretty manageable. As laudable as the hacking revamp has been so far, I'm eager to see the next stage of the main questline. Ah, well, that plays nicely into what I was talking about doing the... moving forward with Old Town and the last little bits and pieces of Novos, sort of at the same time. The major outstanding thing with Novos is the Golden Chip. That needs to be updated to use... To give rewards appropriate for Novos. A lot of the programs are still under sort of the old OS paradigm. And so that needs to get updated at some point. That shouldn't be a huge deal, although there's some cool stuff I'd like to add at the same time, so it might take a little longer than just flipping a few switches. So there's that. I would like to, I guess, eventually, we're going to have to go through and clean up the old net. So that's going to happen eventually. It's still sort of an open question of whether I will be doing that before or after the hacking PvP-ish stuff goes in. So the Novos equivalent of taking over networking sites. We'll see exactly how that goes. I consider it, I would say, the only thing that's really like pressing that I feel like is weird and broken is the Golden Chip. So I would imagine that the next thing you'll see out of Novos is the Golden Chip. There is one, I guess, other cool thing that I'd like to add, but you'll see that if/when I get to it. Generally Old Town. Some questions from Arcane. We've got quite the list here. My only regret was not going full Jeopardy. With the double Jeopardy and final Jeopardy rounds, if you're going to go Jeopardy, always go full Jeopardy. I don't have a gimmick this time around. Hopefully these simple questions will do. Let's start with Halloween questions. Alliance drones seemed peculiar this Halloween. It seemed that practically all Alliance drones with Halloween goodies didn't have proper identification, so most people who didn't already have Alliance filtering before Halloween couldn't get it. Was this Halloween weirdness or some mechanic of drones we haven't really experienced or understood before? I did eventually sort that. There's some weirdness in the drone generation code that if you cleared out all of the Alliance drones with identification, more new ones weren't necessarily being generated. They were just going back to the ones without identification. That was a problem. Should be resolved for the future, but I'm not sure exactly quite how it got to that state. Some combination of randomness and drones getting crashed, so I can't say precisely what happened there. For what it's worth, it was actually fixable with the right strategies, but it's not something that should have happened. So, like I said, it's been fixed for those resistors, blah 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 blah, for any if it comes up again. How did Jess feel watching her shipment tracker, seeing all her goods get delivered outside the slags? Well, she ended up getting, I won't say most, but a lot of them, so it worked out in the end. And the ones, the rest of them that were supposed to come through, did not at all, so, at least not in time for Halloween. So, in retrospect, having them delivered outside the slags, then carried over by hand, is better than the alternative. Jess apparently paid for a lot of goods that never got delivered. Who were liable for these lost deliveries? Jess or the small-time shippers? How did this affect the bottom line of the shipping people? I would say it's more the shippers' fault, obviously, the stuff that was supposed to come through all either didn't get there in time or vanished. So if Jess has a quality legal counsel, they might be in a bad shape. You mentioned to me earlier that there are ways to affect what kind of shipping fleet you encountered. I assume this is something besides the filters you can learn. How intuitive, obscure are these other methods of fleet encounter rates? I would say, it's always really hard for me to tell how intuitive something is to somebody else. I think that's almost a waste of words, I guess. It's hard for anyone to tell how intuitive something is for someone else. I think that the way that the drones works makes a lot of sense. But I also think that the way that the sites in on campus work make a lot of sense. So, and those have largely not been figured out at all. So, my sense of what is intuitive, probably not well calibrated to what everybody else thinks. So, I think it's pretty intuitive, but, you know. At some point, the maze situation got desperate, and we figured out best chance was to forego the solid walls in favor of stacking 5 bricks. The in-game text implies 5 bricks as much of the wall as 10 bricks. It just can be knocked down. I gotta know, how many of our 5 brick stacks got knocked down? I did not directly keep track of that, so I do not have a good answer for you. I didn't notice the numbers dropping, like the completed amount of wall dropping, but it did stay very low for a very long time, so that would probably be the period before you got desperate. There were always some stacked bricks rather than walls, so I don't think anyone went totally nuts. For the first time ever, the punch got more antidoted than eclipsed. What were your expectations for this Halloween, and how do you feel about the outcome? I'm always kind of happy to see the Halloween outcome, regardless of what it is. It's just interesting to give people a bit of free rein and see what they come up with. This year, obviously, was as much experimental on the hacking side of things, with integrating that into Halloween, as it was in the actual setup itself. There was some interesting stuff if things got eclipsed, as usual. I think the party was probably safer and more pleasant with all that antidote around, but other people may not agree. How do you feel about some people actively trying to keep the T-Rex away this year? I mean, it's your T-Rex. I like the T-Rex. I would want the T-Rex, but that's I try not to provide choices that will annoy me, I guess, because, I mean, if I'm going to design a bunch of stuff, I want to actually be excited about it, as we're not annoying myself. Both totally valid reasons, though. The other event coordinator became one with the vampireness when the Punisher got mega eclipsed. How much of a badass boss would Jess be if she became one with the piratiness? I feel like pirates are inherently less threatening than vampires, unless you're talking about, some sort of cursed, evil pirate with their crew of potentially undead or whatever. So if Jess did end up becoming a badass boss, it would probably involve an entire Halloween vessel. Did we miss any big Halloween-only content that we had unlocked? There were a couple of things that didn't get picked up on. A couple of places where everyone chose one option and nobody chose the other option, or everybody chose both options, or whatever, rather than sticking with things. This Halloween is a lot more low-key than other Halloweens. Any comments about not having things explode or rampant slaughter every year? I like to switch it up some. To be perfectly honest, having a little less going on Halloween means that I get a little more going on in stuff like Novos and moving into Old Town. I wasn't planning on slaughter, no slaughter is kind of a wash from that perspective. But having, like, a 2 or 3 weeks worth of events means I'm useless clear through December, basically. A shorter, little more compact event means that, we're getting a bunch of Novo stuff and Old Town is seeming approachable. When it comes to Halloween shipments, it was 50-50 crepe paper or something else. Any competent hacker could easily get over 200 rolls of it. Why did Jess keep ordering them? Should we all blame Goldass? And did that really mess up our foam brick opportunities? It was sort of split out based on the cost of the items and how much money was donated to that particular cause. And all of them sort of had higher stages. Like, once enough money was donated to the animatronics, you started getting the snakes as well. Things like that. So, there was a lot going on there, I guess. The interesting thing, actually, about how much crepe paper came in, I read a lot of complaining about the amount of crepe paper, which I will admit sort of makes me giggle a little bit, just because crepe paper is a funny word. But all this ridiculous amounts of crepe paper, but the actual amount of decoration that was done was not very high. there was a absolute fuck ton of crepe paper delivered, but not actually a lot of it got used, which resulted in some stuff I was sort of expecting to get unlocked with high levels of decorations just didn't show up at all. Now, so for some non-Halloween questions. Speaking of piratey things, how far down the tubes is the pirate update? I have art for it, but I've had art for it for a long time. That applies to many things, as a side note. It's not immediately on my radar. I would like to... if it ends up being something that's quick that I can do is sort of like a, it's like, oh, I've got, Wednesday free, let's rock out the piratey stuff. Then I would do it. I don't want to commit to it with so much on my plate already. Saber, the third eye member you can try to intimidate, seems completely unflappable. I've tried becoming the quad psycho to scare him and learning tons of eye techniques and even straight up killing his colleagues in the abandoned buildings rather than using any subterfuge. He is unfazed. Is there anything you can say about the proper way of scaring him? It's possible that I should just go in and make it easier. But, I mean, violence and stats are the two big things. It's pretty old chunk of code that runs through. So it's entirely possible I should go back in and add some more options while I'm in there. And that might be a nice little update, like what I was talking about with the priority stuff. Things like items like integrated gang finder, retrofitted scanner, and personal comm dish give gang warfare updates if you are willing to sacrifice energy and an equipment slot. But you can get way more detail for free by checking the gang warfare menus. I know there's something else to the comm dish, but do those other items give some ancillary unstated benefit for keeping them on? Yes. They all do. Retrofitted scanner might just give the messages. The other two definitely have other effects as well. I noticed you can get disturbing canvases in the trash, so I tried having a garbage sticker equipped in the charnel house in hopes of getting some disturbing canvases. It didn't work. Do you think it should have worked? Actually, one thing I intend to do at some point is go through and add a bunch more results for the garbage sticker, just so that you get appropriate stuff based on where you are. It's a really old item that hasn't been updated for a very long time. You heavily implied earlier that there is a way to bypass the two roads on the fifth floor of the damaged building. We noticed if you watch him after giving him a hound, he leads you on a path cutting clear across the floor, but that path didn't end up bypassing the two roads. Anything you can comment about the proper bypassing this? It's not that you don't have to go through the two roads. It's that there are ways within that encounter that there are different ways across, I guess, that don't necessarily require the fight or the giant pile of stats. Blitzpopper's rage effects and Wardy Toadstools with their focused perception are all old gang warfare, who we only recently found more synergies with. Do any of those three hide a significant chunk of content? I'm not 100% sure what all you have. There's the Blitz Poppers themselves are pretty interesting. The rage effects obviously interact with a bunch of stuff. Which I think Al figured out, or somebody figured out. I think focused perception also matters in quite a few places. So I'm not sure how much any of them still hide, because I'm not 100% on where they are. I think my favorite is the rage, though, just because it makes me happy. Rage makes Kinnack happy. Could you please add some functionality in the Omnimall to filter buy orders that you want to see by cost? Very often when new content comes up, people clutter up the buy orders with one credit offers and then never bother to take those offers down. It'd be nice to be able to quickly see, for example, what things people are buying for 500 credits or more if you're looking for to make quick cred. So you're looking for a option to see, like, large buy orders, like a sort of, triple or quadruple digit orders. I will think about that. I'm not sure how best to work that into the interface. but... some questions from Deadeye. Welcome aboard, by the way, Deadeye. I think that this is the first time you're asking. Hi, thanks for being willing to answer questions. Even though you are getting over a sickness, you are quite welcome. I've just started playing after a year or so, and was wondering what's new. Most of the new stuff has been around Novos, which is the replacement hacking system. Getting that to be both hopefully more fun and a little more integrated with the rest of the game, rather than being sort of totally off being its own thing. Believe there have been a couple of quest revamps in the last year or two, depending on exactly when you stopped. Southside might be a bit different, and the Docks quest might be a bit different. And there have been a bunch of little updates with mostly various weapon types, getting more techniques, getting more interaction with the techniques I should be good at, that sort of thing. I'm using Windows Phone, and for some reason when I attempt to log in while on Wi-Fi, I get booted back to the login screen. It doesn't tell me I've entered the incorrect password. This is on a Lumia 900 series. Go ahead and message me in-game with that, and I will... there's a security feature that doesn't always play well with certain types of networking. It should be fine when you're on Wi-Fi, but I know, depending on like shakier cell connections, it can cause some problems, and like proxy rerouting, it can cause some problems. And that's about what it would look like. So go ahead and like I said, fire me a message in-game, and I will... I'll turn that off for you, and it should work better. We can go back and forth and see. What's the future of Metroplexity look like? What's planned for the next year or so? Well, I've got, like I said, I'm going to be starting to work on Old Town, which is the next big chunk of the main quest line. So you get, like, Southside, Docks, Slags... University, Slags, Survivors, and then you move on to Old Town, depending on who you chose for your Survivors quest, sort of describes the path you take through Old Town. So that's looking to be pretty cool. Hopefully that'll be out in the next year, assuming that, you know, nothing goes completely insane. Obviously I'll be finishing up Novo stuff as well, which is pretty cool. Christmas is coming up, as always. Not 100% sure if I'll be adding a bunch of new stuff for Christmas, but it's always fun. If all goes well on the Old Town front, there are a couple of older areas I would also like to get back to and revamp. Trying to move actually forward for the time being, though, so that would be after Old Town, more than likely. And the special collections thing that we were talking about, which may or may not interest you, should be going in within the next year as well. I know that there are currently 5 combat forms. Are you planning to add more? 5 combat forms. Oh, you mean the different types of techniques. I would be a little surprised if I added more. For the most part, I've been pretty happy with those. But if something does come up where I end up using, for example, like if I had, you know, a ton of techniques that were all electric, and I just keep adding more and more because electricity is awesome, I might go back through and make, like, a, you know, electric power and so forth. Let those interact more directly. But for the time being, I'm pretty happy with that. Also, can you give any hints on where the story is headed? Story, for the most part, will stay within Metroplex. There is probably a little bit at the end, well, not quite at the very end, but close to the end, that will take place a little outside the city. But really the focus is on the city itself. After Old Town, the plan is to go into Downtown, which is to say dealing with Midgard Corporate directly. And that should be fun and exciting. And then after that would be the sort of closing chapter, as you find out a little bit about what's going on. Not all the answers, some of the answers. And then from there, choose to reset. As in the actual final version, that actually plays a pretty significant plot point. We have sort of the beta reset in now to let people, you know, play through and not just like get stuck at the end of the main quest and not have anything to do. But that's actually a pretty significant plot point at the end of the main quest line. T. Jackson 79, who I believe is also new, so welcome. Hi, Kinect. My name is Tanya. Hi, Tanya. I've been playing the game for 3 or 4 years now, and it still feels highly inaccessible to me. I don't really know what I'm doing, and it feels like always needing this or that on every item to do something. Oftentimes, that item isn't even for sale. What do you think about the accessibility of the game to newcomers, and do you have any plans about it? Well, there's sort of sort of two questions there. The unearthly items thing, I mean, they do sort of rotate back through, and depending on how much I'm on the ball with development actually happening and getting out new items, they can rotate through fairly quickly, and have actually a lot of items available at any given time. I don't really want to have them all available at any given time, as much because it makes resets really weird as anything else. Having access to a giant pile of items really actually makes it way harder for people to catch up. As opposed to, like, if there's, you know, the current list of, like, you know, 6-7 items. Not all of them are going to be necessary or even helpful in some cases to reset. And, I mean, obviously you can always, do a earthly run as well. Anyway, as far as the accessibility, that's more of a vexing, problem. I would like to do a little more, sort of onboarding, as it were. That's not the word that I'm thinking of. Reducing the barrier to entry. Whatever better word you want to apply to that. I think that the Southside quest could probably use a little more guidance just to get people sort of acquainted. Obviously, I've added some the tips for combat when you're first starting out, which makes that a lot easier. I've actually had a very good response to that. So it's certainly not a question of not wanting the game to be accessible. I think that at some level, the game is very open. And that can cause a lot of accessibility problems just by its nature. You don't have a lot of, you don't necessarily have a lot of guidance, and you need to very carefully, as a developer, balance between providing the guidance that people need and reducing the openness that people want. So it's tricky. I would, like I said, not mind putting in some more not rails, but at least like signposts through the early quests. And hopefully that would help out. Maybe in practice the entire main quest line needs them. I couldn't really say for sure, but there's as much as it's sort of a tangled mass of options and plot points, which is very much intentional, it would be nice to have at least like a, you know, an arrow, like here is a path. So if there's anything really in particular that you found vexing in that regard, go ahead and let me know. I won't necessarily be able to untangle that, but at least it'll give me, you know, places to aim as far as stuff that I can fix in the future, or, you know, where we need signposts, even if I don't know what the sign should say yet, or where there needs to be, like, just even a new path that's more obvious through the content, which is a great way to do that. So, yeah, that's the, yeah, as far as accessibility goes, always going to be a work in progress, but not one that I consider an easy one by any means. I've had a lot of friends join because they saw I liked it, but they quickly grew bored and left because, from their perspective, there was nothing to do. I've stayed so long because I've been setting myself goals, like mastering the hacking system, completing all quests I can find. Currently I'm trying to kill the Sea King, but once I have, I'm not sure I can find a goal after that. Most of the long-time players go through the reset process and either, you know, collect skills through that, or collect different conducts, or just, you know, compete against each other in the seasonal contest. There's also, I would say that that's sort of the big answer. There's also a lot of what they would call spading. If you're interested in that, just exploring different parts of the game, seeing how different hidden effects work, seeing how you can crack open certain puzzles, certain weird choices, and different encounters. All of that said, there is sort of a, as much as the game is designed to really, you know, try to, if not necessarily successfully pulling people in, you know, holding their attention once they're here, there is a finite amount of content, and as much as I try to add things as fast as I can, that doesn't always, I mean, I shouldn't even say doesn't always, there's no way for me adding things to keep up with someone who's just playing straight through. I think if people reset enough, like, I can sort of keep up with them, but you have to be pretty aggressive to give me enough time to add more stuff. So, I mean, there is a certain time where it might be better to, you know, pull back for, you know, a few months or a year or whatever. But if you haven't tried resetting, I think it's a lot of fun. It's, like I said, a mainstay in sort of a lot of the longer-term players and what they're doing. And you can get some cool stuff out of it. So so hopefully we can keep you around for another couple of years. But if not, hopefully you'll be able to come back after that. And like I said, if there's anything in particular as far as, like, just stuff that doesn't make sense, that represented sort of the barrier to entry, let me know, and I will I'll hammer at things a bit and see what we can come up with. A couple questions from +4, who is not new, but is newly returned. First, let me apologize in advance if I'm asking questions or raising issues that have already been answered. My questions issues are very basic. I just listened to the podcast for the first time, latest one, but it would take a very long time to get through the previous 37 in a row. Anyway, I will try not to post any podcasts on the way across the parking lot. Second, Tommy's comment right above really resonates with me. I've had similar thoughts, but haven't been able to properly express them. To me, it feels like there's a huge gap between newbies and veterans. I thought it's because I really suck, but perhaps I'm not alone. Along these lines, my first question is, would you consider adding an entirely new hint section between the two existing ones, combat and hacking? Oh, besides the two existing ones, yeah. I happen to see that there are conducts for completing a round without getting beaten up. This seems so far-fetched to me. I have no idea how one would do this. I lose hard and often. The new hints might be given when a player loses, perhaps they lose multiple times to the same opponent. Maybe something like, as you black out, you realize you came to this fight with the wrong weapon, or if the players are wearing the wrong equipment, need better defense for a particular element. As you black out, you wonder if you should have chosen your equipment more carefully, or any other nudge you think would make sense. I realize this might be hard to code, since you have to know the enemy, you have to check if the player actually has, etc. I found the other hints useful, and it seems like some more hand-holding would help. We'll see what I can do about that. There are at least some basic checks that I can do based on enemy stats, which might be helpful. And regardless of whether I can do it or not, that's a very good suggestion. Would you consider adding color to each type of damage? Fire damage could be red, if you're green, for example. Kingdom of Loathing has this, or perhaps Coal Mafia adds it, not sure. No, it's in the basic. But I find it useful. Might also be useful for new players to help them figure out some enemies attack in different ways, for which you might need the appropriate defense. If you have something against using color, it could be done differently. Just bold the text for damage, and add hover text that shows range to damage. I do love me some hover text. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of color. I think it looks kind of weird, but I will give some thoughts about the hover text. Have you thought about interface improvements? Even in run, it's hard to go through each piece of equipment to check for specific attributes. Once I've achieved all my items from the void, there's way too many items in my inventory. Thinking something as simple as a drop-down would help tremendously. Contain entries like melee defense, range defense, etc. When the player selects one, the items that have this remain unchanged. The items that don't get faded out. Although I'm sure you can think of other improvements as well. This might be an unpopular request. I guess veterans would rather see your energy go into new content, so perhaps this could be outsourced to someone with JS Grease Monkey skills. That would, from my perspective, I would be much happier if someone did that with Grease Monkey. My love affair with JavaScript is not very loving. It's, JavaScript and I don't really get along. I'm just sort of churning through that here. I think that it is possible. It would be sort of a pain for someone to Grease Monkey, unless I'm missing something. They would probably have to build the whole list. Like, actually have, like, a list in the Grease Monkey of all of the items and go from there. I will think about that. I am not... I will way less promise something on that one than on the others. I recently joined a gang and find this makes things a lot easier. I heal more and random goodies are dropped all the time, so this is a big bonus. Is there any difference now between completing a run as a member of gang or by yourself? If not, do you think this should warrant a conduct, something like Lone Wolf or some other reward? The only reason that it doesn't give you a conduct for that is that at present, the only way to complete a run without getting the benefits of being in a gang is by literally not being in a gang. And I don't want to force people out of their gangs for the runs. So it would require some kind of toggle to ignore your gang, which is a little weird. So that's the only reason that isn't in there. But yes, it definitely is a lot easier. Finally, Fishing Prince, assuming you read the wiki, have you seen anywhere where you're like, oh, that stuff is way off? Let's see. A lot of the stuff with Novos and Finesse is pretty hit or miss. I've noticed that just recently looking through things. Which is not to say that the Novos Finesse stuff is easy to figure out. It's pretty obtuse, so that is anti-offense to anyone who is trying to figure that out. It's just not quite there. It's the only thing that leaps to mind right now, but there definitely have been a number of other occasions where I've been like that. Two questions, comments concerning Halloween from Happy Eddie. When I started hacking drones to get Halloween supplies, I noticed I got very little, and most of that was candy. The latter's just RNG, I know. Checking the wiki, the solution was apparently to get Alliance filtering, so I got to work. I got the other filtering recipes pretty quickly, but no Alliance. Was the intended result that people who joined a few days too late could only get very few supplies? Did I do something wrong? It was frustrating at the time. I sort of addressed up thread a little bit. It shouldn't have been harder. The combination of bad factors and some lack of foresight on my part made that harder than it was supposed to be. It was fixable, but not in a way, I guess, that anyone immediately jumped to the conclusion of. Halloween, and especially the party itself, was pretty uneventful and boring, to the point where even etheric, nothing changed. Was this due to the amount of antidote that was put in the punch by the boring anti-fun brigade? Was there a large difference between the eclipse and antidote-spiked punch? The amount of antidote that was put in was pretty overwhelming. Don't quote me on the exact numbers, but it was something on the order of double the amount of eclipse put in. Things were pretty straight edge, as it were. The amount of whether it was, you know, balanced or eclipsy or antidote-y was definitely a big difference in what the party ended up looking like. And how people interacted with things, there were a lot of other factors at play too. Obviously, T-Rex versus no T-Rex, snakes, no snakes, to name a few that people have mentioned up threads. All of those had some bearing on how it finally played out. Looks like lastly, a question from Magnifico. Was virtue its own reward in the case of not killing the dragon hunter, or was there some analog to the cosplay polearm that those of us who just aren't total sociopaths missed triggering? Actually, it's really kind of funny. This might be me being a jerk, but there were a number of people who actually triggered the requirement for getting the alternate reward, which did, exist. They also killed her later. Every one of them, to a man, killed her later. So, none of them actually got it. There was most assuredly an alternate reward, with the right puzzle jumping through, just didn't get handed out a whole lot. I think I've talked about just about everything. We've got some hopefully exciting stuff coming up. I will go hide in a corner and hope that my lungs stop hurting. I don't think I was quite as well as I thought. But I will take care of myself, and I hope all of you take care of yourselves. And I've got a whole list of stuff that I should be taking a look at later today, including some from last podcast. So if you have any more questions, or if I told you to drop me a line about anything, feel free to do that either in-game or in the answers thread, or if any of you have feedback on anybody else's questions, also in the answers thread. It's a great place for that. So thanks very much for listening, and thanks for playing. I really appreciate your questions and your donations and all of your energy and everybody enjoying Halloween, or at least pouring their hearts into it and having their hearts viciously cut out by the actions of others, as seems to be the case for some people. Yeah, thanks very much, and I will see you next time, Metroplexity Podcast 40.